possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What happened last night is unacceptable. And it cannot happen. That, to me, is the breaking point. How many times, BT, do we have to see this team go out there and stake their club to a 4-run lead, a 5-run lead, a 6-run lead? I have never seen anything like it. They actually score runs. They get an early lead. You're thinking the game is over. Going back to Sunday against the Brewers, you get a big lead like that, you put that game away. And these pitchers can't get out of the third, fourth damn inning. Unacceptable. It's got to change. They have to figure it out. Stearns built this staff. We talked about the pitching lab and all this nonsense. And when it happens against a crappy, dead meat, left for dead, buried, pathetic Atlanta Braves team with your best pitcher on the mound at home after the record breaker and all that stuff, 6-0, you're clobbering them. David Peterson can't get through the fourth inning? Unacceptable. There are two things to me, BT, that are non-negotiable. It is when pitchers cannot throw strikes or choose not to throw strikes, it drives me up a wall. The other would be if your team gives you a lead. I don't care who you are as a starting pitcher. Certainly the best starting pitcher. Yeah. David Peterson was an all-star. You're an all-star this year. You're the one guy they need you to go out there and give some length. Good God, what a 6-9 lead. You can't get through 5 innings. Ray Garrett, I never want to see him again. You know how I feel about that. But the other thing would be if a team gives you that big lead, you cannot give it back. 6-3, fine. 6-4, fine. Get through the fifth inning. So to me, that was now they're really, to me, starting to show signs that they may not, in fact, be as good of a team as I thought that they were.
Okay, there's a lot there. I'm with you. Just a disgraceful, disgusting loss. And I wanted to see in that little hit piece there, which is on the money, I was waiting for one word, Stearns.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure I heard that. You know, as I was laying out, Liz, yeah. I heard Peterson, I heard a lot of things. I did hear Stearns, which is good because David Stearns is the one who went into the season with this starting staff. And now the Mets and David Stearns, I'm not saying that it can't happen, but now David Stearns of the Mets, are basically beholden to a couple of talented, for sure, and highly thought of young pitching commodities, but they and we and nobody knows what they're going to do on the big stage. And quite frankly, Sal, you know, you can make, and this is a bit of a different conversation, but I can make the statement that if these young arms don't come and stabilize things, the Mets are not going to make the playoffs.
Right, so think about it. A team that has the payroll that they have and was expected to contend legitimately for the World Series, now as we get toward, you know, September, you're 2 weeks from September, whatever it is, they're going to be relying on at least one for now with McClain coming up, probably two with Sproat soon behind him, and I hope three with Tom, because how are you going to fix it? So we all know the issue, right? The bats have come to life a little bit, and you trust that they would at some point. Mm-hmm. Lindor, Soto, Alonso, even Nimmo, throw him in there, whatever it may be.
Yep.
And they've shown that they can do that. The bullpen, I trust wholeheartedly with Rodgers, Helsley, Diaz. That's three.
You got to get to them.
Yeah, well, I'm not even mentioning Soto or Riley. They have like five good guys. Yeah. Problem is, we keep seeing Stanek and Reed Garrett because they're going to the bullpen in the third or fourth inning.
Yeah.
It can't happen. So then the issue is, okay, we all know it can't happen. We all know it's been happening for far too long. How are they going to fix it? They have to fix it. That's why I said the other day, hey, bring up all three, Tong, McLean, Sproat. I'm not saying that they're the answers. I'm saying that you need an answer, and at least there's a chance, and then you could move Holmes back to the bullpen and get rid of Reed Garrett, Ryan Stanek, all these guys who can't get outs. Reed Garrett, would it kill you not to give up a grand slam? I mean, good God, even if you blow the lead, you give up a grand slam? Ball was hammered.
Yeah, dead center. Oh. Remember, I said the other day, I said this about the Yankees, too. The Yankees didn't look good either. We'll get to them, but I said right now the Yanks and the Mets are bad at more things than they're good at. Remember I said that?
Yes.
I truly, truly believe that. And in the case of the Mets, as much as we're talking about Peterson, and I get the starting, and by the way, Peterson's been terrific.
He's been
last
great,
night aside. And I get it. You do your job, though. You can't walk five guys. I understand, like, you go out there with your B-minus stuff, your C-plus stuff. You're not a robot. You're a human, and you were an all-star, and you've been the best starter. Everybody's entitled to a couple of bombs. I get it. He's a human being, but five walks is so substandard, that's unacceptable.
With a 6-0 lead.
I get you. And real quick, there are... I mean, even the 61 Yankees, I'm sure, lost. Or the 86 Mets lost 11-6. But there's different types of 11-6. All right, you know, the other team, you just have nothing. You lose 11-2, you get drilled. You lose 11-5, you get smoked. You lose 11-1, you get shut out. You lose 11-0. I don't know how many times any team in baseball jumps out to a 6-0 lead and then has 11 unanswered. So that's a different kind of 11-6 loss. But just to complete the thought about the totality of this mess, all right? So we all know about the pitching. That's the easy stuff. Oh, yeah, by the way, the Mets botched two double plays.
Yeah.
And both were absolutely gross. I don't know why they sent Pete from try to score on a one-hop laser to right field. The exit velo was well over 105. He's out by 3 feet. And Soto, once again, who's starting to hit the long ball. Right. I get that, but two on, down three. And it's only the fifth inning. Strikeout. So, like, all the other things that make, and they're not a bad team based on their record, but they've been a bad team for way too long, not turning double plays, not hitting in the clutch, not getting past the fourth inning, relievers coming in with gas cans, questionable coaching decisions at third base. It's just like the Mets look awful.
Not to mention the Phillies lost, and the Mets could have gotten right back in the division. It would have been a 4-game deficit and rolling. It's the crappy Braves. It's a 6-0 lead, and you have your best pitcher on the mound. Like, Peterson's not going to be perfect. I get that. But with a 6-0 lead, the very least he could do is get through five innings.
Just be competent.
Oh, my God.
You don't have to be perfect.
By the way, it's not just one game, and it's not just the fact that the starters aren't giving length. It is three games in a row that the Mets have been staked to early leads, and their starters give it right back, and they can't get through the fourth inning.
Mm-hmm.
This may be the worst display of starting pitching that I've ever seen from a Mets fan perspective. And I've seen rotations with Mark Clark, Jeff DiMicco, Pete Harnisch, Pedro Ostacio. Like, you name the scrubs that we have seen in the Mets rotations for years. And even if they were staked to 5-run, 6-run, 4-run leads, you put it in your back pocket and you go get the W. The hard part was getting the 5-6 runs.
Uh-huh.
The easy part should be pitching through that. I don't understand it.
Even the horrendously inept, just terrible Mets teams of the late 70s and early 80s, at least they had Craig Swan, Pat Zachary.
Yeah.
Like, they had a couple of guys. Now, Peterson's been really good. I love him. I know you
Me
do
too.
As well.
Yeah, I like him a lot. He's done a great job.
But this is becoming contagious. Generally, you don't hit in runners in scoring position. Kind of becomes a little bit of a team-wide issue. Remember when the Yanks were throwing the ball all around the field with Volpe and some others? It becomes like it almost swallows you up. I guess the only hope, well, there's two hopes. The young guys change the course of the starting pitching soon. Or the other guys just get their act together and get their heads out of the behinds and start doing their job. Now, let me say one more thing. Like, this is the other aspect of what bothers me about some of the commentary with New York baseball. And we do it with the Yankees, and we always hammer Cashman and run through 20 years of litany of mistakes. And we do, you know, and I said Stern, so I'm a little guilty here as well. But at what point can the players start doing their jobs?
But
when?
Here's the counter to that. And I'm with you. Like, that's what we said. Cohen, Stearns, they built the team. Now go out there and do the job. The problem is, in Holmes' case, right? Because it's not all equal. In Clay Holmes' case, it was very predictable to say that you're going to take a guy converted from being a reliever for years and have him in the rotation, that at some point the innings were going to catch up on him. He's far past it. So, all right, you look at home and say, you could understand how he can't give you much length right now. Move him to the pen. Okay, you can fix that. Montas, nobody in this town,
stinks.
And I mean nobody outside of David Stearns himself, wanted Frankie Montas. That's a guy that he chose. That's strike number two.
Yeah.
That's why with Peterson, to me, it's different because he's not so like, it's not just that, well, the Mets don't have a rotation that can get through these innings. Well, some of it is because of the way that they designed the rotation as it pertains to Holmes, as it pertains to Montas. The other guys are where it's perplexing. Senga's never been a guy that's going to give you great length. He's been abnormally bad since he's come back from injury.
He's a big star friend today,
boy. Manaea's got the loose bodies. I don't know what's going on with him, but certainly he's been bad. Like, the multiple guys have gotten, you know, when Sean Manaea gets a lead, you got to put that away. When David Peterson gets a lead, you got to put that away. Clay Holmes, you could understand it for the most part. Yeah. Montas, you understand it. Just, you know, Holmes is tired. Montas not very good at this particular point, but it's been a little bit of everything. I think that's why Stearns, Hefner, the pitching lab, whatever you want to call it, that has to take a hit. They have to figure it out. This can't continue. It's gone on for 2 months. It can't continue.
This is why when I say, Sal, when I look at the Mets, I just, and I know that at some point they're going to get hot. I get that. You know, Lindor dropping down the bunt the other night opened him up a little bit. Yeah. He's starting to get a couple of hits. You know, Soto's hitting some bombs. Pete's been okay lately. Bottom third, whatever. They'll score some runs. I get it. If you get to those three guys or four guys to close out games, you'll win games. You just have to get to that point. So I know that the Mets are eventually going to look a whole hell of a lot better than they looked last night. Yeah. And they've looked for the last 2 months almost. But I don't think that they'll ever look good enough this version to win a World Series. And that's what this season is about. And that's why, again, and I'm not going to say it forever, but when I say that they're bad at more things than they're good at, what I'm really saying is, like, it's like, and I've used this analogy as well, the whack-a-mole on the boardwalk. Bang, knock him down. Here pops another one. Boom, all right, I got him. Bang, there's another one. It's like, how many hammers can you use to get this freaking mole that's popping up? There's just too many problems with this team.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. 888-808-1019. Ray is in Tampa starting us off. What's up, Ray?
How you doing, fellas? Thanks for taking my call. I feel the biggest problem isn't so much the players. I think it's Mendy. The first three runs came in, he should have taken the pitcher out that quick.
Ray, here's the problem. You can't blame... I'll let you finish here. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I got to jump in. Like, you can't blame the manager when his starting pitcher can't get through the fourth inning.
Sal, that is true. But the same thing happened time and time again. He can't see that he don't got it. He just didn't have it.
I know, but what are you supposed to do is the
really
point. In the fourth inning, like, you can't be playing bullpen games. And thanks for the call, Ray.
Here's what Ray's missing, all right? So it's not just a singular issue like, all right, Mendy, come on. What are you looking at? He can't find the strike zone. Yank him. I don't think Mendoza's been great for the last month or so, and I've said that. Some of the decisions I've questioned, it's all good. I still think he could be really good, but I don't think he's been very good the last month or so, right? But when he's in his spot in the dugout, he's not just looking at a pitcher struggling. He also, this is a big part of it, has to now navigate inning upon inning and, you know, multiple outs, 15 outs for the bullpen, and he's been doing that basically for the last month.
Right.
So it's not just, all right, Peterson's been he's an all-star, but he's off tonight. Let's yank him, and let's, you know, we'll get him next start. There's the Mets staff is so overworked and such a mess. You got to try to steal the couple outs.
If it happened in the fifth or sixth inning, and you could see him starting to lose it, that's when you could say, hey, Mendy should have gone to the pen sooner.
I agree with you.
In the fourth inning.
Nah, you can't do that.
With Peterson?
No.
Mendy, you got to be like, dude, what is going on? Now, here's where I will get on Mendy. He's the manager.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself.
Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can, like, express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Figure it the bleep out. Figure it out. He knows it too.
Yeah.
You're the manager. I don't know what's going on with the pitching staff. I don't know how the changes happen. Figure it out. You, Stearns, Hefner, Cohen, whoever needs to be in that room, figure it out. The season's starting to get away from here. Now all of a sudden it went from having, they have a 3-game lead on the Reds. Now all of a sudden, forget the division for a second, even though I still am not giving up on that. There's still time to go here. But now all of a sudden the Reds are 1 game behind you.
Yep.
And there's no reason to believe that the starters are all of a sudden going to flip a switch and get better.
No, they're not. I don't think they are.
So
Peterson will be better, but...
And you could say, a month ago, all right, it's not time to panic. A week ago, 2 weeks ago, not time to panic.
Mm-hmm.
You're now getting there to the point where this has continued far too long. It can't just be, let's hope Big Pete could go out there, David Peterson, and give us 6-7 innings tonight. Let's hope Senga turns it around. Let's hope Manaea is building himself back up. Let's hope Holmes could give us 5-7. No, you've seen this how many times through. Change is needed now. Now they got to figure it out.
The problem is, change was also needed a couple of weeks ago with a starting pitcher. Stearns didn't deliver one, so that's why we got to see how these young kids do.
Yeah, he relied on the young guys.
I got you. Now that's got to work itself out. And by the way, if anybody thinks it's still, not that anybody's out there saying it's so early, nobody's saying that. There's only 40 something games left. But if you're still not convinced the time's ticking, because I'm with you, both of these teams, it's getting late. All you have to understand is the Jets and the Giants are playing this weekend in a preseason game.
Right.
So that should, if you've been around long enough, you should know Jets-Giants preseason game, and I know it's usually the third week, not the second, but football season's coming. And when football season's coming, if a baseball team is unstable, that's not good timing. That means it's getting late.
The only thing is that there's still a full month plus left of the schedule. A lot can change. If the Mets would have won last night, the energy, and honestly, I thought they were going to.
So did I.
Matter of fact, I was texting Evan you know, because he's busting my chops for the last several months about, is the NL East over? Is the NL East over? Well, him and Mirage thought that the Mets were going to win the division. Now they both think that the Mets are going to lose the division. So up 6-0, knowing the Phillies got beat, I texted him, is the NL East over? And then about an hour later, David Peterson implodes or whatever it was. And now, to me, like, the hope of the division, whatever excitement or belief I had, they just ruined it. They put the nail in the coffin of that belief. It still could happen, though, because just that one game, it would have been totally different. Hey, four games back, Mets are rolling right now. The problem is they've had too many of these. Two of the last three games, they should have won those against Milwaukee. They should be winning three in a row here against Milwaukee and then last night, which changes everything. So, point is, you're only a short win streak away from making everything feel totally different.
No, you are, for sure. But that's why, you know, my main premise is of great concern, because the multitude of issues that plague the Mets. Yeah, I know they're going to look good for a couple of games, and they might look good for a week. I just believe, unfortunately, and again, I think they'll be a wild card team. But at the end of the day, I think they're going to fall way short based on the expectations, because there's just too many issues.
John is in Danbury, Connecticut. What's up, John?
Johnny,
thanks for taking the call, guys.
Yeah.
When at the beginning of the season, on paper, both these teams look like they were going to be great. You know, we're going to have a good run. And it is frustrating, because now we're playing the blame game of, like, oh, it's Stern, oh, it's Cashman, oh, it's the players, oh, it's Boone, oh, it's, you know, it's everyone's fault. And it's like, you know, at the end of the day, I think there is a line that you have to draw of the players have to do their job, to your point, guys. And it's just getting so annoying watching these baseball teams. And as a fan, you know, I don't root against the Mets as a Yankee fan, but, you know, you want both teams to succeed. When both teams are good in New York, that's great for the sport and that's great for the city. And both these teams are just, I think they're floundering their opportunity here.
John,
it's just amazing to see where these guys were last year and where we are now. It's like, you know, I feel like I'm living in a bizarro world.
I am with you 1,000%, so much so that last night, BT, I'm thinking and watching both these games, I can't take this anymore. That's what I'm feeling. I can't take the losing anymore from both these teams. I can't take it. Like, it's one thing if you watch one team and endure the losing, which is bad enough. We're watching both teams. I can't take it. I can't take the Yankees and they're losing, and I can't take the Mets the way that they're blowing these games here, coughing it up. Not with the expectations. Now, I still believe both teams will be playoff teams, but come on, dude. This has gone on for months now. It's got to stop.
I mean, with the Yankees, it's really gone on for years with the same issues. But I hate, you know, I got you. Always pulling up the pass. It's just, it's absolutely mentally paralyzed. I can't do it anymore. C-Mac said it yesterday. He's like, we got to stop. And I agree with this. He's like, we got to stop just conjuring up everything that's been wrong with the Yankees this century and almost just focus on a night-to-night basis. I think that was pretty smart.
Right, there's enough there to get on.
Yeah, exactly. It's like there's no content. Right. You know, he scored one run last night against the Twins.
The only thing I would say, and you and I have this debate all the time, where you're like, okay, well, stop bringing back, whether it was with the Giants, and it dates back to, you know, when Gettleman drafted Barkley,
sure.
Like, the reason why we bring it up, it's not to say, well, look at the Yankees dynasty in the 90s. It's to say in recent history, a lot of the decisions that they made or moves that they made have led to where they're at today.
No question. And I listen, I'm not dismissing it as a valued point.
Right.
I'm really not. I mean, there's a direct correlation to, you know, whether it's Isaiah and Dolan back in the day. Right. I mean, why were the Knicks bad for 15 years? I mean, look back at what happened the moment Van Gundy walked out the door and every other mistake. I absolutely get it. Now, the good news for the Mets is that their runway, if you will, of mistakes is far shorter than the Yankees, because it's a new regime. And, you know, maybe that will embolden fans, because I just think Yankee fans are just tired of the same nonsense, whereas Mets fans are at a different stage. But I just look at this Mets team and I think that their ceiling is okay. I don't think their ceiling's amazing, number one, and their floor is frighteningly lower than I thought.
Usually, I don't have losses stick with me anymore. Like, I used to wear it. A loss for football, dude, it'd be at least a week, and you know, until the next game, that I'd be just really sour and bothered. Baseball, maybe a couple of days. All right, if your team goes out to the next night and wins, sure. This one, now it's like, whatever. All right, they lose, you go to sleep, you move on with your life. Last night, it actually stuck with me to a point where I woke up this morning and I couldn't believe that they actually blew that damn game. Maybe it's because I've been believing in them recently, so I really want to see them turn it around here, because I do believe in the team to a certain extent. What happened last night can't happen. So much so that I started to think now, the negative way, BT, if they for some reason don't make the playoffs, or if they have a quick exit, I think you could be looking at a significantly different team next year. Like, I would blow it up to the point of anything that is not strapped down or nailed down, see you later. Meaning Lindor and Soto are nailed down. They're not going anywhere. Everything else, I'd be looking to rearrange everything if I'm David Stearns. Now, that's if they have a short exit. We'll see what happens in the postseason, assuming they get there. But if they don't succeed, there's no way in hell I'd be running it back with the same group.
So neither would I, but I don't need a short exit to see that. I'm going to bring the Knicks back into the conversation for a moment very briefly. Like, you know, the Knicks were a step away from making the NBA Finals, and I was still saying Tom Thibodeau should be fired. I don't think that this season, from a Mets perspective, should be full, is going to sound like a contradiction, but fully judged by how far they go. I mean, now if they win the World Series, that's obviously, I mean, that's different. Now you got to lay out and you got to let them try to defend the crown here, but I don't think that's going to happen. So, like, even if they had another run to the NLCS, I still think that they need to do some serious tinkering.
I understand what you're saying, and I don't disagree. You know me. I said I would change the core how many years? Even this year, I said I'd trade Nimmo. So, like, that shouldn't matter in the postseason. The only reason why I say I'm going to give them, because I think they've earned it. They went to the NLCS last year where nobody thought that they were going to do anything, especially after the way that they started. So they earned the right to come back together as a group this year, even with knowing the inconsistencies from 2022 on, right? Mm-hmm. 2022.
Don't you think Dante DiVincenzo earned the right to come back and get the, you know what I'm saying? It's the same thing, though.
Well, they took a more talented group. Now it's a little different.
And they went a little further.
Yeah, right. I'm not saying, I told you, I would, if I say I would trade Nimmo in season this year, certainly it would be something I'd be, because I just can't rely on the inconsistencies of it. I can't do it. However, I still believe, based off of what they did a year ago, this group in the postseason, that it's possible. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that I feel like they've earned in the postseason to see it one way through. And by the way, I would have done it with Tibbs this year. So the DiVincenzo thing's a little different because I felt like they maxed out.
Mm-hmm.
And then going to get Towns is the talent that takes you over the top. But my example would be I would have liked, even though Tibbs fell short this year, disappointing fashion, I would have liked to have seen him one more time because I think he earned the next shot with this group.
Okay.
That would be my thing. This is their, to me, last and final shot, meaning McNeil, Alonzo, Nimmo, again, you throw in Lindor together. This would be the end of that run to me if they fall short. BT and Sal on the fan, D-Rod, calling from Orlando, Florida. What's up, D-Rod?
Hey, fellas. How's it going, man? You guys came back from vacation on fire, man. You guys are doing all right today.
Thank you.
Had to recharge a little bit, man. Come on.
Yeah. You guys sound 10 pounds lighter. Fantastic.
Heavier, actually.
But, yeah. But hey, I know Sterling kind of took a little bit of time yesterday from every moment. But just to mention what the caller mentioned earlier was like, you know, yeah, sure, you can make a case that the manager should look at this and take the guy out that strongly. But I think the bigger point to your point is that it's the players that aren't going 6 and 7 innings or 5 innings at least. I mean, 5 innings, my goodness. You know, you love to have that. But,
D-Rod, real quick, so again, we'll get to the Yankees later, but the Schlittler getting pulled, I did not like that decision, and I'll tell you why later. But that to me was it's very different than, like, you didn't have to pull Schlittler. They elected to, and I didn't like it. You had to pull Peterson. You had to pull Manaea. You have to, the other night when they were up 5-0. You've got to pull the other day. You've got to pull these guys because they're up in flames. Like, they lose the strike zone. It's a merry-go-round carousel on the bases with action. They're getting ripped. I don't think Mendoza's been great for the last month, as I've said. I don't really know what he can do in some of these situations. I honestly don't know. What do you want him to do?
Not only do you have to pull them, you also have to let them go to the point where you say, I have no choice but to pull him.
That's
now.
Bingo, because of the exhaustion.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. And listen, again, like I said, you can make a case for that, and that's you know, it's a valid case to say that, but the problem is the underlying issue is that why are the pitchers falling apart after 3 and 4 innings? You know, after 3 innings, you can't find the strike zone? Like, what's going on?
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going on there, like that's the issue. It's, you know, it's the chicken or the egg, which, you know, I guess, I don't know. What
do you think, and thank you for the call, D-Rod. Do you think that it's pitching from a... I don't want to say spot of fear. I don't think David Peterson's afraid, but is he just getting too cute? Like, walks are bad, period. Walks are bad, period. Walks with a six-run lead are like, yeah, I'd kick you off the team if you do. Like, you can't do that under any circumstance. Should you? I'd rather you give up five straight home runs, solo home runs, or whatever it may be. I'd rather you get tattooed than start walking guys with a six-run lead. It's unacceptable.
Well, at least you have a chance if somebody, you know, hits 115 miles an hour on the screws there, could go in somebody's mitt.
Right.
Rather than ball four going in Alvarez's mitt or Torrens. I think last night, now I think there's different reasons for different pitchers on the Mets staff for their early inning implosion. I think last night, I think that David Peterson simply lost his mechanics. He could not even control this fastball. And, you know, again, I'm not saying he's Jerry Kuzman or he's right. Nolan Ryan or Doc Gooden, but he's had a really good year, and I like him, and so do you. He's talented.
Yeah.
Like, when somebody that's given you confidence for a while looks so different, it's just, or he's hurt, which I don't think he is. I think he just lost his mechanics, which happens, but it's amplified because it's in the middle of this mess.
Right. It hasn't happened to him, but this is the one time that it could. Like, if David Peterson went five innings last night and gave up four runs, that would be bad. And you'd be like, hey, you know what? He just didn't have it. The guy's been an all-star. He's been great. He's been their best pitcher. Didn't have it. Like, on a night where Max Fried doesn't have it, and he hasn't had it lately,
mm-hmm.
he, for the most part, he's going to give a five innings at least, and he's going to give up some runs. Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
That's what you needed, bare minimum, last night, is get you through five innings and just leave with the lead. 6-4 after five innings would have been bad enough. 6-5 even would have been bad enough. But at least you got through five innings with the lead. Now you hope to tack on, and you can get it over to the bullpen. You cannot exit the game after 3 1/3 and then have Reed Garrett come in and throw gasoline on the fire here.
That's a problem. You know, every time Reed Garrett pitches, you just think there's going runs on the board. He has been horrendous.
I can't take it. And I know he's gotten some big outs here over the years. I've never been a fan of Reed Garrett. Mickey is calling from Wolcott, Connecticut. What's up, Mickey?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
All right,
hey, I got to be honest. I've dubbed this team this year, especially after the recent woes, as the worst team money can buy. Officially, like the new worst team money came back, because I know there was already one before it. But this is bad, man. And I, at the end of the day, you just gotta, what's that phrase that you just gotta believe what people tell
when,
you?
When somebody when somebody shows you who they are, believe them.
Yes, and that's where we at this point.
Yeah.
It's this, they're not going anywhere this year, and I think officially getting out the playoffs is what's going to do it. But ultimately, my reason for my call, and I wanted to get your guys' take on this. Going with the starting pitching this year, going with in terms of the bullpen and all that stuff, and then taking what happened last year. There's one big catalyst last year, which was Senga's injury. I think Senga. I love Senga. Don't get me wrong. I love him. I wish he can freaking thrive in New York. But I got to be honest. Everything needs to be perfect for him to pitch first.
He's soft. I've been telling you this for years.
But then it's also the 5-day, the 6-man rotation situation. And I think that's what's ultimately killing us. If you ask me, it's the 6-man rotation, extra days rest, all that. It's what's killing our team.
It hurts them. He's hurt them. Now, he's not the only problem, but he's been an issue. And that's why I've been telling you for years. It's the same thing with Senga. Everything. I'm shocked that he came back sooner than or as soon as he did after that injury this year. Everything's got to be perfect. He needs this perfect amount of rest. He can't give you length even with that. He doesn't have control or command as much as you'd like from a top pitcher like that. But even with him being an issue, BT, where I do want to push back is that I would not say, and I have not said, and everything that I've said the last couple weeks leading up to today's rant, because I'm ticked off about what happened last night, I do not think the Mets are dead, and I do not think this is a bad team. When you say the worst team money can buy, when you say this team is awful and they're not very good, like, they already have 64 wins, and they are currently in a playoff spot. In 2021, they won 77 games. And 77 and 85.
But what was the payroll? Because remember, his point was connecting the money.
All right, but still, even if you go back years before that, go back to then the early 90s.
Listen,
where you had
a high payroll. Mets have had worse teams. Well, we could all agree. Like,
but that's where I'm getting. Dude, in the early 90s, with the Mets won 77, 72, 59, 55, 69, 71. Like,
I'm with you. Like, Vince Coleman. I mean, come on. And then the Saberhagen.
And then the Madoff years after that. So you want to say, okay, payroll, a little different story. Even in 2002, after coming off of, you know, relatively successful, 99-2000 certainly, then they start to go in the tank again, 75, 66, 71. Like, I've lived enough to see how many, I mean, look at the franchise, been around since 62. How many losing seasons have they had? This will not be a losing season.
Mm-hmm.
In all likelihood, it's still going to be a playoff team. I still believe that. So I just want to make sure that we're all, like, relative to the expectation, yes, it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Relative to the Mets franchise, it's not as bad as people are making it
seem. I totally agree with that, but, I mean, this is more for you because it's your team, and if you ask me about the Yankees, I'd give you my answer, but I want you to personalize it. What hurt more? Those years where the Mets were completely lifeless and there were 17,000 people there and the payroll was middling and the talent was not existing, but you didn't go into the season thinking, you know what I mean? Or this where, you know, you're a couple of wins away from the World Series. You get Soto. Here's the juice. I mean, this one has. It's not over yet. Don't get me wrong.
Well, that's the key.
I hear you. But as like to me, this type of, for me, would sting a ton more.
1,000% agree with you. But, and it's a big but, it's not over yet.
I agree with that.
And not only is it not over yet, it's not September 14th.
I know.
It's August 14th. Still a ways to go here.
It's obviously a rough one last night. Starting pitching, this is untenable. I'm going to present something, and you could tell me if you would like to punt for a little later, or you would like to tackle now.
Okay.
Pete Alonso, what was written on the baseball? You tell me. I almost think I don't want to shortchange it.
Well, I think we could do it now.
All right, well, then go ahead.
You did text me about it last night.
Yes.
That's the first I saw of it. And by the way, after yesterday's debacle with the Odell Beckham Jr. stuff, like, I don't know what
is that AI?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Is it AI? Is it not? I mean, did Mad Dog really go nuts, rip Gary Cohen, or was that AI? It had to be AI.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did Alonso really write that on the bowl, or did somebody make it up? Like, you really actually don't know.
True.
I did not have a big issue with it when I saw it from you, and my first thought was that somebody must have told him, you know, like these authenticators or whatever, like Fanatics, whoever's doing this stuff, probably says, hey, can you write Home Run King and maybe something to Straw, like Down Goes Straw? And make it like more, I don't know, more appealing to, who the hell knows? I don't know. Where's the ball going? Did you see where it's going at
well,
all?
Well, it's got the authentic, it's authentic, whatever the hell word I'm trying to say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So is it a Fanatics? I heard it was maybe Fanatics, but I don't know for sure.
But is it going to the Mets Hall of Fame? Is it going to the Hall of Fame?
It should go into the Mets Hall of Fame.
Is it going to Pete's personal closet? Is it going up for sale?
I mean, if they sell that ball, I mean, if Pete sells that ball, Pete, come on.
Yeah,
there's no way you sell that baseball.
I don't think that he would. But okay, so whatever. But Down Goes Straw. So when I first, you were...
What the hell are we doing?
You were a little more upset with it than I was.
I was. Now, listen, I don't think it was mean-spirited because I don't think that Pete's that guy. And now, first, I wanted to make sure, you're right, is it AI, is it real? I'm going to assume that it's real. All right, I'm going to make that assumption here, Sal. And I'm like, all right, well, all right, I see his signature. Did he write Down Goes Straw? And it seems like he wrote everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I believe it's his penmanship.
Yeah, nobody outside of him should be writing on that ball.
Correct. Yeah. And if somebody's sitting there saying, hey, Pete, why don't you write this down? Well, then Pete's got to have a better filter. And again, I don't think there was an ounce of malice here. I'm not trying to make this bigger than it is. But talk about being obtuse. Down goes strong.
Well, it did have an exclamation point.
Well,
right?
At the end it did, for sure.
So it's like when I see the exclamation point, that kind of takes the harshness for me, away from it.
Why? Hold on. If somebody texts...
Down goes straw. Like, you know, it's kind of
no,
like...
No, that would be a question mark, the way you... The intonation, no. Down goes straw.
Yeah.
Like it's a question.
Yeah, down goes straw.
No, no, down goes straw is the exclamation. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If I text you, bleep you with an exclamation point,
I take
doesn't that pop a little bit more if there's no exclamation
point? No, I take that lighter than I would if you just texted me bleep you.
Really?
Yeah, Hoff, if we texted you bleep you exclamation point versus bleep you period, which one you think is harsher?
I think the explanation point.
Of course.
Oh, no, I'm the opposite. Scones, what do you think here? I can't be the only one of the...
Well, it depends on, like, what the previous context is. What are you guys talking about?
You know what I mean? No context whatsoever. You just get a text from me, and it says, bleep you.
No, I think the period is stronger. Yes.
Then the exclamation point.
Yeah.
So if I text you, bleep you, period.
Because almost like exclamation point could be jovial,
yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You there agree you with him?
I do.
Get the heck out of here.
Yeah,
come
it takes
on,
a lot
Scones.
For me to do that, but yes, I do.
Yeah. Well, same here. So, but there's more finality to the period. Like, I'm not even going to continue the cop. Bleep you,
it's
period.
More, to me, it's more stern.
It's more serious, right? So that's what I was saying. Yeah. So with the exclamation point, like in my mind, he didn't draw a smiley face on it. Although, why stop there? Did he draw a little polar bear and an iceberg as well on there? Down goes
straw. No, but he's got his own iceberg.
A strawberry and iceberg. Yeah. The exclamation point is almost like a smiley face to me. Like,
okay. All right, wait. So we're getting off the map here. Okay. So you don't think it's a big deal?
I don't think it's a big deal, but I do think that it is disrespectful to Straw.
Okay, well, if it's disrespectful to Straw, why is it not a big deal?
Because
that's my entire point.
I'm sure Straw doesn't care about it. I don't think it was meant with any malice,
I don't
you said.
Think so either, but you just got... And isn't that... I don't want to say the problem with Pete, but... Isn't that part of... Again, he's obtuse, which is sometimes good, but down goes strong.
Yeah, he's having fun with
remember
it.
Remember when Jeter had... remember when Jeter passed DiMaggio for most hits by a righty or... Right. I mean, as he was going towards 3,000. Remember that? Imagine if he was like, down goes DiMaggio.
Yeah, I know. I know, that would be rough. What if we, on the scorecard on Thursday, somehow, like, you beat Mike?
I saw that Mike shot an 82. I'm not beating Mike.
I told you.
Yeah.
I told you.
I did some research, dude. Yeah. I was looking at the swing.
He's good, man.
Yeah, no. The ball, it's not the prettiest swing, but it's got a little pop off the face. It's straight. You're right.
Yeah.
I saw
people
an 82.
People think I'm saying because I'm an ass kisser. No, yeah. I am an ass kisser, yes. But he hits the ball well.
Now, is there any fudging? Is there a mulligan? If he's 4 feet away from the cup, does he pick it up? I need to see this with my own eyes.
I think he'll take down Boomer.
The hell out of here. Boomer will destroy him. Come on, man.
Anyway, so the point is, if you beat Mike and you write on the scorecard after, like, we take a picture for social media, and you write, down goes Mike, exclamation point, I think that's, like, a fun thing.
I also, that is fun because Mike's next to me.
Now, I wouldn't do it.
Well,
you
of course
could
you would.
That,
but because Mike, for that day, and really based on our careers, like, you know, I mean, obviously very different, but Mike is an industry peer, and I'm playing with him that day.
All right.
Straw's is not a teammate.
The same thing, industry peer.
But he's not on the same field with Alonso. I'm on the same course with Mike. And by the way, I'm not going to beat Mike, so stop putting that out there.
Because
those buffoons of the morning will twist it and say that I'm said that I'm going to shoot a 75.
What if it were Boomer? What if it were Boomer and you took him down? I mean, that would be
Boomer's my guy that I can never say anything disparaging about Boomer.
And me, I'd be like, down goes Boomer, period, exclamation point,
And then what do they call the synapse? What are those three dots? What's the, what do you call that? Not the synapse, that's in the mind.
Semicolon?
No, come on, dude. Semicolon. Okay. What are the three dots? Jeez, everybody.
Oh, parentheses, you're thinking.
Oh, God, I forget it, Jesus.
Okay. Oh, okay.
You're more help than that, whoever told Pete to write that on the ball.
Pete and Sal.
Not a big deal.
I like to see what Straw
said. Not a good look.
You think Straw's like,
I think Straw's too classy. He's not gonna jump into this.
See, now, if I were a collector, and I am in certain regards, yeah, but like if I were a big collector, maybe I'd have Straw write something on a ball next time.
Yeah, bleep you.
Yeah. No, well, congrats, polar bear, .. Lucky I decided to go to L.A. for more money.
Or you want to really drop the mic, .. I got a ring.
Yeah, 86 World Series. Good one. BT and Sal.
Or Keith was 10 times better.
888-808-1019, the number to call. Linda calling from Forest Hills. What's up, Linda?
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good. Good morning.
Hello, Linda.
Okay, guys. Please indulge me for a little bit here. Okay, it doesn't take an Ivy League degree to know that after signing a Juan Soto, who by Mets fan standards hasn't had the season that we've all expected, which is another point altogether. But in terms of the pitching, when you sign a guy like that, it doesn't take an Ivy League degree to know that when you follow that signing up with the likes of Griffin Canning, Frankie Montas, who nobody wanted, and turning Clay Holmes into a starter after all these years, it doesn't take an Ivy League degree to know that the bullpen was going to be taxed, which is what I said in the offseason. That was one of my concerns. Okay? So, to me, this is on David Stearns. Yes, it's on the players to go out and perform, but coming off a season like last season where you were two games shy of the World Series, you sign a Juan Soto, you expect as a fan to be like, okay, wow, we just came off two games shy of the World Series. We signed Juan Soto. What's next? And when you follow that question up with the likes that I just mentioned, that doesn't inspire confidence.
Here's the one thing that I would say, though, Linda, and thank you for the call. I'm with you that Stern should get the blame here for this rotation. He got the accolades when the rotation was pitching well.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get the blame now when it's falling apart. If you had to pick the biggest culprits as to why this has gone on for 2 months, what would you say that it is? I have my answer. Curious to get yours. As far as the starting rotation.
Understood. To be fair, I would probably have to start with injury.
Yeah.
Because if Manaea started the season healthy and Senga didn't get banged up, I don't think that it would seem quite as dire.
But those are the two guys who, to me, are the biggest reasons why this has happened. Now, you could say injury, sure, but Senga was healthy before. He was good, came back. He's not the same. Is it the injury? I don't know about that it's the injury. Maybe it's something else with him. But that my point is that Stearns could get the blame. Senga is not necessarily Stearns' fault. He didn't, A, bring him here.
No, he didn't.
And B, if Senga doesn't get the job done, like, Montas, yes, we all knew he was going to fall apart and wasn't going to be any good. Clay Holmes, we all could anticipate that at some point, and by the way, Clay Holmes was great the first half of the year, so Stearns gets credit for that, and now he's falling, he's gotten a little tired during the second half. He's got to take a hit for that, but you could move Holmes to the bullpen and bring up one of the young guys, which maybe he's going to do that, obviously replacing Montas with one young guy so far. My thing is, you can't get on Stearns from Manaea and Senga, who consensus had both those two guys. Whether I thought Manaea was going to be as good as he was at his peak last year or not doesn't matter. At the very least, you expected him to be a top-of-the-rotation horse, even when he came back from the injury. And he hasn't been good. I was going to say he's been awful, but he just hasn't been good. He's been good for a few innings, and then he falls apart. So can you put the blame on Stearns for Senga and Manaea?
Oh, no. No, you can't do that. No.
Or Peterson last night.
No, of course not. I mean, that's ridiculous. So I'm with you there. I don't think Stearns had a good offseason. You know, the Montas, not just 1 year, gave him 2 years guaranteed. Canning was an interesting reclamation project who was showing signs. And then, by the way, before he ruptures Achilles, he was going in the wrong direction. Let's not forget
but
that.
He was good.
You know, he was good early. I know. And Minter had an injury history. Yeah. Now he's obviously very good, but you rolled the dice there. That bit you. Hey, bottom line for me is this here, right? Pertaining just to the off-season moves. The biggest one, and maybe this is unfair, but I don't think it is, though. The biggest one I give Stearns zero credit for. Soto was Cohen.
Right.
Period. And then the other moves, nothing's really worked out.
Well, but you can't say nothing's worked. Like, they got more out of Griffin Canning than I think anybody thought. Even with the injury, even with him starting to go the other way. Griffin Canning was a big part of why the Mets had the early season success, which is a big part of why they're still in a postseason spot, even with the last 2.5 months. Clay Holmes was terrific the first half of the season. I'm trying to think of what else we got here.
Well, the Montas stuff.
Yeah, well, Montas obviously bad. I mean, as it pertains Minter. To the rotation. You know, he also just loaded up with the bullpen at the trade deadline. Like, he gets a lot of...
No, that's why I said before the season.
Okay.
No, I like what he did at the trade deadline. You just got to be able to get to those guys.
Yeah.
He had a good trade deadline, no doubt.
Jose Siri was another failed one.
Yes. He's been hurt. Forgot about it. He hasn't played at all.
I'm just trying to think of some of the other moves that they made in the offseason real quick here.
Yeah, letting Iglesias go. I know he's not having a good season, Iglesias, but that's a lot of chemistry the Mets had last year.
They bring Alonso back. Yeah, I mean.
I did not have a good offseason.
Yeah, I don't think that, again, not over, but I would not grade his offseason based on the results of the actual season a favorable grade.
Okay, and there's a month to go, so that could change. But right now, middle of August, again, not the deadline stuff, preseason
remember,
stuff.
Still year two.
I get that, but I'm saying year two, his preseason moves, I give him a D.
Yeah.
Maybe an F.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd honestly go there, but probably C-, something like that. See, I have to go over all of them again. And again, injury's a big part of it. Montas, we gave an F then and now. Like, we all knew that one. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll continue with your calls. We'll work the Yanks into the conversation as well. Got a lot to do today, too. I want to revisit the over-unders, BT. I think it'd be a good time to take a look. I forget what they even are.
Oh, I got it.
I don't think it's going to be good for either of us, but I could be wrong.
Speak for yourself, buddy.
Okay.
Somebody's doing all right, and it ain't you.
No wonder why you wanted to bring that back up.
Yeah.
Well, you had Holmes. I think you had Holmes ERA.
Yeah, no, I didn't have Holmes as ERA.
You didn't have Holmes ERA?
No.
You sure about that?
I'm positive.
All right. We'll have to revisit those over-unders, I think. I want to play. We'll do some cards. We haven't done a card game in a while.
Let's rip some packs today. Yeah. I'm down with
and
it.
And then we can power up later on as well.
Love
so plenty
it.
To do here. Just getting started. 888-808-1019.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.